Well, let's look at October and Mishlei Perek Vav. And the beginning of the Perek was all about being in debt and paying your debts and don't be lazy. We connected that to the idea of judging other people as a metaphor for the fact that we owe other people to be down the cops, and we need to do that because that's what affects our own judgment. You have to assume the best of others because that's why Hashem will look at us. And then Shlomo goes to a famous metaphor, famous parable. We all know the story. And it says, Lech el nimala atzel. Oh, go look at the ant, you lazy bum.
Wasn't
You're a doctor.
an answer, Namala.
Nimala is an ant, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Re'ei look at her ways and become wise.
And become what? Wise?
Wise. Chakem. Become wise. Asher ein la katzin shtar moshel, because the ant doesn't have any kind of leader, no police, no rulers, but still tachin b'kayis lachma, still prepares her bread in the summertime, agarab katzir malacha, gathers together in the harvest everything that she'll need. An matayat zelta tishkav, so you lazy bum. How long you'd be lying down? Matai takum mishnatecha? When are you going to get up from your sleep? Matshnot, mat tinumot, a little bit of sleep, a little nap. That's what you say. Just hit the snooze button one more time. Matchavek yadayim lishkav, a little bit more, folding your hands and lying down. Vakmalech roshecha, and your poverty will come like a traveler. All right, you just sleep for a little more and you'll end up poor. Umachsarecha kiish magen. And your lack and your need will be like a bodyguard. It'll stick to you. So don't be lazy. Go look at the ant. Right, we know that. Let me go over here. Right, you ever seen the movie A Bug's Life?
Yes, it was good. Although
There it is. So
I
that's.
have to tell you, Danny, if you, have you ever been to Costa Rica?
No.
They got every bug you can possibly think of.
Oh.
Anyway, they basically warn, do not go into the jungle with like open-toed shoes or something, you know?
Really? Because
One
the
day
ants
they
are
told us we're going to be able to walk on these raised bridges. So we weren't going to be on the ground. But what they failed to tell you is, oh, and it was like 90 degrees or something really hot. What they didn't tell you is, okay, when you come down off of these raised bridges and platforms, then you will be on the ground. And basically, you're not really going to be out of the jungle. So there you are standing around, and all of a sudden, these ants that you're worried about, because that's what they warned us about, that those ants, if you don't have shoes on, they will, if you're in their line of fire, they will bite you, they'll throw everything at you. And all of a sudden, I get down from, walking across the treetop. And walk down, and all of a sudden I'm standing like on a spiel or whatever. But these ants are like they're called cutter ants, where they're cutting all these grasses and bringing it back to wherever they're going. Anyway, if you're in their way, they have like soldiers that are biting you and attacking you. And like I can't tell you how painful that was.
Oh, really?
I
Yeah.
don't have a good feeling about ants, let me tell you.
Okay, so you take ads seriously here.
I take them very seriously.
Okay, so Shlomo will tell you to do that as well, right? And the idea that ants are always working, they're not lazy, it's an old trope. Lots of culture. We've seen the movie there, the Aesop's fable about the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper, originally it was a cicada, I didn't know that. That spent the summer singing and dancing while the ant or the ants worked to store food for the winter. When winter arrives, the grasshopper finds itself dying of hunger and begs the ant for food. However, the ant rebukes its idleness and tells it to dance the winter away now. So that's what Shlomo is saying, right? Look at the ant. We all know that.
Know what else is a grasshopper? A
What?
locust.
Yes, locusts are grasshoppers.
I don't want to tell you how huge these things are. I also saw them in Costa Rica. They're as big as my hand.
No.
They're as big as my hand.
Wow.
Like this long, and like 2 or 3 inches wide. And I get there, I'm swimming in this little pool next to our bungalow or whatever. And then I come out and I go to the whoever the guy is, that's the desk. And I say, I've never seen such big grasshoppers. He goes, those are not grasshoppers. I said, really, what are they? He said, those are one of the 8 plagues of Egypt, 10 plagues of
Oh,
Egypt.
fake.
I go, really? What are they? He said, they're locusts.
Locusts. Well, I mean, locusts basically are grasshoppers in swarms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one
And they
grasshopper, but a whole bunch of locusts.
fly.
They definitely fly.
I saw it. I just
Right.
gotta tell you, that was pretty scary.
But the fable just, is more about the being lazy and, the ants are always working and that's good, right? But the ant is tachim b'kayis lachma. The ant compares during the summer when it has a chance. It brings all its food in, it stores it, so it's prepared. But what I don't look at is that you're supposed to learn from animals. I mean, yes, it sounds like a good idea not to be lazy, but are we supposed to be learning from animals how to behave? Because the Gemara seems to imply that. The Gemara in Erevin that cites our psukim here. Dari Rabbi Chiya. Rechia said, "Ma'itiv." When it says in Eo, says, "Malfenu, malfenu bibehemot aretz, u'me'ofa shamayim tachakamenu." Which is Bishop is this is Hashem, this is Eov, right? No, this is Hashem. I think talking to Eov, but it means malfenu is teach us. I guess Eov to talking to Hashem, teach us mi behemot aretz. Usually, the mem there is translated as more than. Like we are more learned than the animals are. Umeofa shamayim yichakmenu, and we are smarter than the birds of the sky. The Gemara says no. The mem there means not more than, but from. In other words, you teach us from the animals of the earth, and you give us wisdom from the birds. So Rabbi Chiya is saying, what does that mean? He says, behemot, teach us, you teach us from the animals. Zupreta, we learned that we can look at a donkey. That crouches before it urinates. We're
Donkey.
going to learn tzniut from how donkeys urinate, right? They don't just go, they'll lift a leg, but the dogs do, they'll crouch. That's a preta. And we are become wise from the birds. And this is talking about the rooster. What do we learn from the rooster? That literally it seduces, it woos the hen. Right? Birds have these elaborate mating displays
All
where they show
right.
off how big their feathers are, and peacocks have their tails, and the roosters puff out their chests. Right? They try to impress the women by these big, colorful feathers. Human males do that by having loud cars and motorcycles, which they think impresses women. gets annoyed by those, but it's a thing, right? So that's what you learn from looking at the rooster. You should always, you don't just take the woman, impress her first, mafayes first. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, continues in this vein. It says, Ilmali lo nitna Torah. If the Torah had never been given, we would have learned tzniut mechatul. We would have learned about tzniut from a cat. That it goes into its litter box down in the basement. It covers up its excrement, right? That's you learn tzniut. With gezel nimala, and you would have learned about that not to steal. You learn that from the ant, because all the ants, they're all working together, the whole colony. One doesn't take its little, your cutter ass, don't steal the leaves from the other ant. They're all working together. I would have learned that gazela is wrong from an ant. But I wrote me arayot miyona, and I learned about faithfulness, right? The lack of arayot, immorality from the dove. Doves mate for life, they're faithful to their spouses. I would have looked at the animal kingdom and said, these are good things to do. Tzniut, don't steal, be faithful. And similarly, Derech Eretz mitanagol, how to be polite from the rooster. I should that it does this display, and then takes the hen. The problem is that when we're anthropomorphizing animal behavior, is that you don't know what to learn. Right? There's too much behavior out there. What do you learn? What do you pick? right? You're looking at the cat, and do you learn modesty from the way it goes to the bathroom? Or do you learn about being aggressive and cruel and playing with ants and then letting them go? I can learn cruelty from the cat. And so this is the way the Ben Yehuda look. Yeah, oh, it does a 19th century commentary on the Gemara looks at this Gemara here about looking at the animals. And he says, "If it hadn't been the Torah hadn't been given, I would have learned all these good midot from animals." And from the way the Gemara words it, if not for the lips of the Torah, Yisrael Yekod made the point, "Achshav did not in the Torah that now that we have the Torah, it tells us the right behavior." Ain lo lomod me'elo. You can't learn from animals. Animal behavior. Don't anthropomorphize and say they're morally good. And he says it's hard to see that. Mavakach. Now, well, why not? Adarab, right? We can still take them as lessons, right? So and say, okay, there, if the dove is being faithful to its spouse, so certainly I should. I have a kalvachomer. He says, nearly, the way I would look at it, that's that it occurs to me. Ki atashenitna Torah. Now that we have a Torah. And we have rules that are given in the Torah about behavior. For instance, don't lie. So now I can't learn about this pious about appeasing the one's mate from the tagel, from the chicken, from the rooster rather. Shuma face b'sheker, because the rooster's lying, right? It's puffing up its feathers to look big and beautiful, but it's not that big. Because of and it's lying, and it promises something you can't deliver. Says a lot, and doesn't do anything. Right, the rooster. You would not learn. You should not be learning how to be mephias, how to appease one's spouse from the rooster, because all it's doing is showing up. It's not doing anything there. You can't do that. The other side of it is that we shouldn't learn something good from the rooster. Otherwise, you're going to learn everything. Right? How do I pick? Well, I should be, mefayis. I should appease my spouse. But on the other hand, roosters are notoriously promiscuous. They'll mate with every hen out there. They'll mate with all the different female hens. Relations all the time, that's not a good thing. So how do I know what to learn from animals and what not? Okay, Nimala. And similarly, yeah, there are things you can look at the ant, right? Shlomo is saying, look at the ant, it's working all the time, and it doesn't steal from its fellow ants, like the whole colony works together. That's great. So Shin, you can't, we're afraid to learn from it. The Vratovze, we're not going to learn from the ant. Pen yomdu gamid varim ra'im shalach, because we're going to learn other things from the ant. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to behave like the ant. When she adam lo hate kol yamav, that it's running all the time. Lesof hon lo have kesef lo yisav kesef, and it's just all it does is gather more and more stuff, and it's never stopped. They never start working, but they're all gathering more and more wealth. You want people to do that? Because you want money. Ohev kesef lo yisav kesef. Someone who wants money will never be satisfied with money.
The community.
I'm sorry?
I thought it was gathering stuff to feed the community, not just to collect stuff.
Well, that's the point. Where do you draw a line? How do you look at it and say, yes, this is right. This is what we're going to learn from the animal. I mean, that would be a good thing to look at and say, but I don't necessarily know I'm going to do that. I'm saying there's a problem with looking at this. You know, I would have if it not for the if I hadn't got the Torah, I would have learned this and this. Kashen when we see this in an ant, right? This greediness. Because if you can spend all your time working nonstop, you'll never learn Torah. I can't do that. Even if it is for the good of the community. I gotta spend some time with doing other things besides gathering more stuff. Moshe Amar Mefarshim Zala Pasuk, like what the so the Mefarshim looking at our Pasuk, when it says when Shlomo says Lech on the Malah, Hatzel, go look at the ant, you lazy bones, Re'eh, see its ways and become wise, that the key part is the Vachakam is you got to be smart about it. You have to look Watch what it's doing. You can take examples, take lessons there, but you got to be smart about what you do. Lima gezel about to like you should learn not to steal. Lo drachim asher tirshabahem, but don't learn the wrong things. So now, what does the Gemara mean? Well, I could have learned these midot tovot from the animals. I could learn lots of bad things. We shouldn't be acting like animals. In a chatul, similarly for the cat, we said it was tzniut, it was modest. Apapishiyeshu, even though it is has tzniut in the sense that with it'll go to the bathroom in private. Yeshu, there are a lot of bad things about cats too. That it will chase mice and it won't stop chasing. It, even if it's not hungry, it'll just chase. It just loves cruelty. Cats are just cruel. Gazlan harbe and cats steal. That the cats are going to grab food off your table if you turn around. And all the food goes out to me. It's always stealing. You don't want to learn that from the cat. Saying atash Torah. So now we have the Torah, which actually does guide us. Like right here, this is right and wrong. In nachol mibriot elu klo. We shouldn't be looking at the animals to learn morality. And you let me do gamin araot hamitzavahem because we're going to learn bad things as well. So I say the Gemara here is saying that the malay lo nitna Torah. The Torah we didn't have the Torah. Hayinu lemei dim. We would have learned these midot. That's not a good thing that, okay, it should. It's that we've been at the problem that we would have, without the Torah, we would simply consider ourselves animals, looked at the rest of nature, learned from that, and might have done something right, but probably not.
Danny, I guess it's here in Eruvin that it talks about Gezel, who gam hu gazlan harveh. That was one of the reasons God destroyed the world in the days of Noah.
Was it Hamas, right?
Oh, I thought it was because of Gezel. I thought
Well,
that
okay, so
was.
Gemara understands Hamas specifically to mean theft of things you couldn't bring to court. They're too small. But specifically, yeah, this specifically is Gezeila as well. And that becomes the problem is that you can't look at nature and draw moral lessons from that. Because nature is not necessarily moral. So when Shlomo is saying Lecha Namala, go look at the ant, is he's saying this is a metaphor. You know the right thing already. The ant is, thinking about the ants moving, working all the time, helps it stick in our brain, right? The metaphor has a meaning that we assign to it. And it's that the beginning of Yeshaya. Yeshaya is telling the Jewish people, your ungrateful wretches, God's going to destroy you. He starts out with saying, Yada shor konehu, the ox knows his master, v'chamor avuspa love, the donkey at least knows where its food's coming from. Yisrael lo yada, Bnei Yisrael have no idea. Hamilut banana, my people don't understand. Right? And that's the contrast to the shor and the chamor. The ox and the donkey makes Yeshaya's message that more potent. We remember it. And whether the ox actually does know its master and actually exhibits gratitude doesn't really matter. The image in our heads. And so I'm going to end up disagreeing with Rav Lichtenstein. I'm going to quote Rav Aaron Lichtenstein from the Gush.
I think he's been to Young Israel a few times.
Was he? Now, he passed away like 5 years ago.
Isn't he Aaron Lichtenstein married to the Rav's daughter, or wasn't he married to?
Yes, he was. Yes.
Yeah, so he was in
Was he
the
younger? I don't know. I don't know that.
Anyway, Dina, I have to tell you, I'm sorry you missed him because one, I went both times because I know the guy's brilliant and everything, and he's a London, and he's also, he's universe. He's trained in English and language and all this kind of stuff and philosophy. Anyway, I go all excited because I'm hearing. One of them was going to be on the topic of his relation with his father-in-law.
Oh, interesting.
So I was really excited about that because I thought, wow, I'm going to hear these personal stories. What the Rav taught him. Anyway, he had this introduction to it. It was so above my head.
Oh,
The
I'm going to quote him here.
introduction of his remarks were like 45 minutes. So literally, I was like towards the back, and I'm like falling asleep because I could not follow what he was talking about. I was like so frustrated because I said, "I'm sure this guy is brilliant, and this must mean something personal to him." But it was so up there, you know.
Okay, so we're going to quote him. I'll try to translate, okay?
Yeah,
Because it
thank you.
definitely
I
needs
can't wait to talk
translation.
to that too.
Okay, so here in his he has a famous essay called "Does Jewish Tradition Recognize an Ethic Independent of Halacha?" But is there we'll call natural law, right? If we didn't have outside of Halacha, is there some kind of ethics way we should behave?
But what about Shava Mitzvot
Mr.
Shmoneh
No.
Noach?
So that's kind of an in-between area. You could argue that that's part of halacha. That's halachic. But the
Oh,
question is, could you, are there ethics that don't require revelation?
okay. I think you've told us there is.
Well,
Didn't you
so he
mention that?
certainly argues that, and he feels that very strongly, that there is a natural law.
You'll be
Okay.
talking about Derech Eretz, because I'm looking down below. I see Derech Eretz.
Yes. Right, and that's the idea of Derech Eretz. So I would agree with that. But he starts his essay talking about that. You know, does Jewish tradition recognize an ethic independent of halacha? If the issue is reduced to natural morality in general, right? Is there a natural morality? There's something that even if I had no sense of the divine, I would have come up with rules about how I interact with other people. It may hardly be in doubt. And he quotes our Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan stated, the Gemara in Erevin, the Torah had not been given, we would have learned modesty from the cat, aversion to robbery from the ant, chastity from the dove, conjugal manners from the cock, from the rooster. The passage implies, first, that a cluster of logically anti-halachic, anti meaning before, not against, that before halacha exists, that they exist. Second, that these virtues can be inferred from natural phenomena. That's what he's saying, that the Gemara is telling us I can learn the virtues from natural phenomena. And then he continues, says, nor does the passage stand alone because the wide-ranging concept of Derech Eretz, we've talked about that still exists. Roughly equivalent of a Coventry Patmore, who's a theologian, called the traditions of civility. How do I get along with other people? How does civilization survive? Points in the same direction. Okay, that Derech Eretz certainly exists. It's important again, not as descriptive. Period there. Should not be a period there. Its importance is not as descriptively synonymous with conventional conduct. Right? Now, the Derech Eretz is not simply the things that we do as a description, but it's not descriptive, it's prescriptive. It's telling us what I should do. It's the lex naturalis, which is a Latin word for natural law, in this concept of it, right? We don't need it. We don't need revelation to tell us that.
But
It should not.
where does Rabbi Lichtenstein learn lex naturalis? Where does he learn that?
So the question is, does that exist? Is there morality outside of halacha? And the classic example of that is from last week's parsha. When Avraham tells Hashem, "Hashofei kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat,"
All right.
he goes to God and said, "How can you not do justice?" Now, obviously, that assumes that there is some concept of mishpat outside of what Hashem says. But if it's defined by what Hashem says, then by definition, he has no place to complain to God. What God's doing is obviously mishpat. So Avram's going to Hashem. I was explaining to God and said, look, mishpat exists. If you're going to wipe out Sodom, then obviously you're not doing mishpat. Obviously, the idea of, again, we're calling Derech Eretz, of natural law, that is something that there is justice that is outside of revelation. That's the Pilate's biggest argument. It's a strong one. I think we've talked about. It's the ten and the Tehillim class about Rav Huttner kind of arguing that the reason why that exists is because if we it's still God's will, but it's in the world that Hashem created. Hashem created a world, so the Derech Eretz is that which needs to keep that world going. we're
So, in other
and we're,
words, before Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews in the world, there was I forget how many, is it 26 generations?
26, right, 26 generations.
So during that time, there was some, he still had some expectations that it wasn't going to be completely corrupt.
Right, and that's what we call, that's what Chazal say Derech Eretz, right? Derech Eretz Kadmei LaTorah. So
Yeah.
that definitely exists. I'm not disagreeing with the Rav Lichtenstein on that. I'm just agreeing with the point that you would, that we would learn it from watching animals. You learn Derech Eretz from interacting with people, for other human beings. Okay? And I said that there are good arguments for the idea of natural law, Derech Eretz, preaching Torah. But you can't learn Derech Eretz from behavior of animals. Right? That's what the Bnei Yehuda is saying, because you have too many things to look at. Okay? You can't choose that. You got to see what works for human beings. That's independent of the whole Gemara here, which says, Imoli lo nitna Torah means that if not for giving the Torah, we would have learned from the animal world and we would be doing these terrible things. We'd be animals. That's not a good thing. So it gives us the Torah, and I would include the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach in this idea of Derech Eretz within that concept.
But Danny, you know, there are parts of the Torah where you have these, I'll say, you know, metaphors, and they're using animals, you know, like the donkey and Balaam, you know, the donkey refuses to
Yeah.
go
Yeah, but
fast.
the idea, we shouldn't be looking at the how animals behave and say, ah, this is natural, this is the way Hashem created the world, this is right.
I'm not saying that doesn't seem natural to me at all. I'm sure that was like a little
Okay,
surreal.
right. So that Bilam is obviously not natural. We're talking about, you know, I mean, this thing that Shnor was saying about Lecha Nirmala, go watch the ants. What are you gonna learn?
Yeah.
It's called, the word here is called the naturalistic fallacy. That's wrong. The idea that what is found in nature is good, morally good. Is that right? Like obviously nature has, so that if it's natural, it must be a good thing. The basis for social Darwinism, the belief that helping the poor and sick would get in the way of evolution. So we shouldn't help people. Because evolution says, you know, that the weak should die, right? This depends on survival of the fittest. How could I not do that? Today, biologists denounce the naturalistic fallacy because they want to describe the natural world honestly without people deriving morals about how we ought to behave. The
But I
difference
do want to
between
say that if you know if you watch those science shows and stuff, that you do see that animals do act altruistically towards each other. You know what I
it
mean?
does exist, but
They
again, you got to pick the
cooperate,
behavior
they warn
you're
their,
looking at.
you know, stuff like that.
Right. But again, you got to pick which ones you're going to. There are times they act altruistically, and you can say, yeah, that's good. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And if looking at animals helps, wonderful. But you can't go the other way around, say that everything the animals do, because plenty of times they're not acting altruistically.
Not true.
Okay? If you say, so Pinker's argument, you know, birds and beasts engage in adultery and infanticide or cannibalism, then it must be okay. You can't use moral basis. Okay? And I don't think Gemara is arguing that. I don't think Shlomo's arguing. Lech Nemala, right? The image of the animus life. It's a metaphor, right? It says, R'ei just watch it and you'll become wiser. Because you're going to observe animal behavior, you're going to anthropomorphize that to be it, not them. And then your brain, by watching this, you're going to take their behavior as normal, right? It, by anthropomorphizing, you know, I can't say that. The animals, by treating them as human beings, your brain looks at other human beings and say, this is the right way to behave. Because we're social animals. We take our cues from others, right? Therefore, it's morally good. So you got to pick what you're going to observe. And you
Yeah.
say, altruism is good. Here's an altruistic animal. Great. And that's going to stick in my head, and I will become a more altruistic human being if that's what I watch. If I watch animals and I watch them slaughter each other and, you know, and eat the babies of their mates from another father, and I think that's good, then I'm gonna end up in a very bad place.
Yeah,
Okay,
that doesn't sound
don't
like
do not eat your rivals. Just a word of advice.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice.
Okay. And I say that the Gemara makes a clean point about dreams, right? Dreams also help us form what we do, what we see predicts the future, but not because it's somehow we have some kind of ability to predict the future, but it determines how we behave because what we see affects what we think is right. And the Gemara on that, the dream specifically, which I think is an example of the same thing with the animals, right? Remember, dreams follow the mouth, follow the interpretation. So you have a dream, and what it means depends on what how you understand it. Nothing to do with the dream itself. And you see in that when Yosef interpreted the dreams, like he kasher patar leno kena. Yes, the way he explained it, that's what happened. And that watching the animals is just like having a dream. You choose what behaviors to observe, what to anthropomorphize, and that will assign it moral value. So Shlomo is saying, look at the ant, look how busy it is, and that's the way you should be. Don't be lazy, get to work. We've watched a lot of other things about ants, but don't worry, don't look at those parts. Just look at being busy. And the question is, what are you supposed to be busy about? It doesn't say.
Exactly.
I'm sorry?
I say exactly. Busy, you can be busy and not constructive at all.
So the mountain says it's a metaphor for youth, right? That the ant is working in the summer, so it has food for the winter. It's just like when you're young, get your work done. It's the Malbim. Zeti Musar, so you're going to get the lesson here. Leharbot leso the Divrei Torah. You should spend your time gathering Torah, wisdom. When you're young, that's when you can learn. Al tomar die, and don't say I've got enough already. And after you've gathered together, then as you become older, you can start to understand and put it together. The Gemara says that a person should learn and then go back and try to understand. Gather together, learning facts. Even though when you're in elementary school, you're going to ask, "Am I ever going to need this?" Just having it in your head, you eventually it becomes kind of the source that allows you to learn other things. Lachin this is basically metaphorically preparing food for later. Moshe nemala mechina al yemei achorav, just like the ant is gathering together food for the winter. So you should learn in your youth. That's the model. And this is the metaphor. What was the metaphor in Yirmiyahu? But how Bnei Israel didn't do this. Because Yirmiyahu pointing out that Bnei Israel, everything's going to be destroyed. Hinei kol shot bnei ami me'eretz merachakim. Because I hear the voice of my people is crying out from distant lands. Hashem in Tzion, God is not in Tzion. Im malka ein ba, there's no king there. Madua chistoni b'silehem beheble nechar. Why did they, God says, why did they anger me with their idols? Avar katsir kalakayitz. The harvest is gone. The summer is over. They had a chance to do the right thing before. Now it's gone. Vanachu lo nashanu, but we have never been saved. Al shever bat ami hishparti, the misery of my people. I am broken. Kadarti shama echlitani. I become darkened there, and the far lands have captured me. But that's what we're looking at is. The idea that you have an opportunity in youth, that's the summertime, and you got to use it because otherwise you'll be lost. That's the Nirmala.
That last verse, Chafala, Al Shever Batami, Hijbarti, that sounds like something in Echa.
Yes, well, it's Yirmiyahu. I mean, it's the same author, right? He says the same things. Yeah, but I think Al Shever Batami is definitely in Echa itself as well.
Have to say, you can't say the guy didn't try.
Oh, Yirmiyahu?
Yes.
And this metaphor, okay, that the metaphor of the ant working in the summertime is a metaphor for working in youth, so that you're prepared for old age. That's explicit in Kohelet, which is all about dying. And we're gonna die, right? And it says that Kohelet says here, Shlomo says this, Zachar borecha bimei bachrutecha, remember your creator. In the days of your youth, before the bad times come, and the years will come, to say, I don't like this. And then it goes to the whole metaphors about how everything, your body's falling apart. So, remember Hashem in the days of your youth. And that's good. And that's a nice metaphor. But the thing is that I would argue that's not what Shlomo was talking about in Mishlei. Mishlei is about ethics and how we interact with other people. And in this section, when he's talking about not being lazy, he says, we're going to get a quote over here. right? About don't sleep, minimize sleep, minimize your napping, your slumber here. He said that in the first part of the parak as well, where right, I'm talking about al titein sheina le'enecha. Don't sleep tinuma le'hapecha and slumber for your eyelids. Don't do that. So I would say it's really giving the same lesson as the previous paragraph. The previous paragraph we said was all about the moral debt we owe others in terms of judging them, right? Judge them for good. So I say that his here metaphor here is that you're like be like the ant in terms of always working, always busy to try to maintain that. You need to maintain your contact with other people. And so we have the ant who does, right? We said is we learned about gazela, don't steal. Because the ants are all working together. It's a colony. They're a social insect. They're always working for the good of the colony there. That's what we're looking at over here. That's what you're learning at here. Yeah, right? Right, how many, all right, that's what Gemara says. I mean, lemedi gezel min malah. We would learn about not about theft from the ant, because the ants have no sense of their own personal property. Now we have idea of personal property, but still, we need to be working with everybody else. They're constantly working, and but the more importantly, they're constantly working together. All the little ants, the little antennas are busy touching antennas with all the other ants. And so that the anthill becomes a metaphor for human society. It's a bird's-eye view of our interaction with others. And so Shlomo is saying here, don't be the atzel, the lazy one who isn't part of that. Let everybody else work for me. I got to be part of society. And I'd be working not just in actually helping, physically helping, but actually work at my relationship with others as well. And that's why I think of Lech Lanah Malah, go look at the ant, b'chakem, and become wise, is talking about. I'm going to stop here because I don't have much more, anything more to say here because I've got to work on this one. Hopefully be ready by next week, but we will find out.
Sounds awesome. I really appreciate it.
And I will stop recording here.